And part of the reason for changing the teaching plans is because initiation or empowerment ceremonies require preliminary rituals, a lot of which involve quite a large number of chanting, which is not that helpful for my lungs, because recently I had an infection, and partly that was aggravated by the long days of chantings that I had to do as part of the preparation for the Kalachakra ceremony in Toronto. So since you are not going to receive the empowerment ceremony and the blessing in that form, please do not feel that this is a great loss for you. In fact, it is more important to contemplate, reflect, and practice and meditate. Even if one may receive tens and hundreds and thousands of empowerment ceremonies, and they cannot be of much effect and benefit.
So
we'll be spending 2 days of these teachings on the explanation of the text and giving explanation of the Dharma, which in a way is more important than receiving empowerment blessings. Of course, in very exceptional cases where on the part of the disciple all the karmic conditions are fully ripe and ready, and on the part of the teacher there is a great affinity with the disciple, and all the various conditions and the prerequisites are ready and for maturation. Under such circumstances, it is conceivable sometimes by receiving a simple blessing or an empowerment ceremony, a realization could take place in the individual, in the disciple. But generally speaking, it is really through understanding and hardship that realizations will grow. For example, if we look at the life story of the great Saint Milarepa, we read that once he came across a teacher who claimed to have a very special instruction, which if practiced during the day, will give enlightenment in the day, during the day, practiced during night, it will give rise to enlightenment at night. And it is such a unique transmission that one can attain, in fact, enlightenment without any meditative practice. So once Milarepa heard of this instruction and met the teacher, he felt that, and also he was informed that this is a particular type of instruction that is appropriate to a practitioner who is at a very high stage of karmic maturity. So Milarepa felt that, you know, I must qualify for this disciple. So he was very happy and went to bed, and he didn't practice because he thought that he must be one of those advanced practitioners who will attain enlightenment without any meditative practice. So next morning the teacher asked him, what kind of indications did you have in dream? And Milarepa said, I really didn't have any positive dream. So the teacher said, well, in which case you are not an appropriate student for this particular instruction. So you need to seek teachings from the great disciple of Indian master Naropa, the Marpa, the translator, the Marpa, and he was sent to Marpa. And of course, we all know how much hardship Marpa gave to Milarepa, and Milarepa's story testifies to the fact that it is through hardship and constant practice and understanding that he eventually gained realization, not through simple blessing or touching of the head by a palm.
As you know, I'm just one simple Buddhist monk. I'm a human being. So basically, we all, it's the same sort of, I think, same nature. And everyone is want happy life, successful life. I also have that desire, and you, everyone, also have that desire. And certainly, we all have the right to have happy life and successful life. And also, each of us, as a human being of this planet, so each of us, naturally, I believe, have some responsibility to think about humanity, about the world as a whole, because our future depends on that. If world, humanity, more happier, more prosperity, less trouble, then we individual, part of that humanity, automatically get benefit. If world, turmoil, more difficulties, more fear, more doubt, more confusion, then we individual also will suffer. So that's the reality. Therefore, taking care of the planet or humanity is nothing, something or say, holy or something, but this is the realistic. So, as I think person who have some experience about our inner world or inner sort of experiences, then I feel the motivation and our inner quality, inner value is something very crucial for successful life or betterment of the humanity. Therefore, the number one, my commitment, is promotion of human value. I think, according to this text, I may touch something about that. Then second, promotion of religious harmony. Because I am Buddhist, I am one of the believer. And today's world, the various different religious traditions still have, I think, important role for help humanity, or to serve humanity. Yet, because of different religious traditions, sometimes more division, more conflict sometimes happen. Therefore, the work or effort to promote close understanding among the tradition is, I think, important and useful. So that's my second commitment. At that point also, according to this text, I will something explain. Then, then third commitment is about Tibet. That's no connection to this program. Just to this promotion of human value, the promotion of religious harmony, and with that, some more detailed explanation about the concept of Buddha Dharma and the way of practice of Buddha Dharma. Although I think that field I am poor teacher, perhaps as a student maybe some exception, but generally speaking, students also may be poor students. So the poor teacher, poor student, very fit, very good. Now I will speak in Tibetan. Ta chang tu na liya mangbu chi ta phe chi nam yu ada nge da chi ke she da yi gyu ye wei pro ju ha re ta de ne kro ji phe chi mang chi chi sa wei ndo kha re chang tu sa wa ji de la bo xiong de ya sa wa de bo du an de bo du ko mo nyu de de la bo xiong de ya.
Among the members of the audience here, many of you may already be familiar with my lectures and teachings from before, but quite a number of you might also be listening to me for the first time. So among the audience, those who are listening to me for the first time, can you raise your arms?
Hmm. Oh yeah. Rodo.
So in that case, I will share some of my basic thoughts and opinions with you today. And those who have to my lectures before and are familiar with these ideas, please do not feel I'm repeating myself. But in a way, just as the Indian master Shantideva states that at the beginning of his text, that there is nothing new that I'm presenting here. So the point is, from the point of view of spiritual practice, in fact, repetition is necessary, because it's not sufficient simply to understand once, but rather that understanding needs to be repeatedly cultivated. So familiarization is essential for spiritual practice. Secondly, as it is stated in some of the sayings of the great Kadam masters, that although there is nothing that I haven't heard before, But there is something new that I haven't understood before that I've understood today. So because of these, I repeat myself, perhaps there is no error in this. There is no disadvantages. Today being the first day, and also this being the first session, at the beginning of the session, we will do some chanting, and particularly of the Heart Sutra. So tomorrow morning, since there are some members of the Chinese Sangha, Buddhist Sangha community, it would be wonderful if recitation of Heart Sutra in Chinese could be performed tomorrow morning. The subject matter of Heart Sutra is of course the teaching of emptiness. Heart Sutra belongs to the category of Buddhist scriptures known as the Perfection of Wisdom, and it is one of the shortest in that collection. In fact, referred to sometimes as the Perfection of Wisdom in 25 stanzas. And the main subject matter of that Heart Sutra is the presentation of the ultimate nature of reality of all phenomena, including the aggregates, the constituents, and so on, and including the stages of the path. All of these are presented as being devoid of intrinsic existence. And so this is the explicit subject matter of Heart Sutra, which is the teaching on emptiness, and the implicit subject matter of the Heart Sutra is the stages of the path and themselves. And the essence of the stages of the path is, of course, the cultivation of bodhicitta, the awakening mind, by means of cultivating the thought, cherishing others' welfare more important than one's own. So in a sense, these two are the subject matter of the Heart Sutra. The emptiness that is presented in the Heart Sutra is understanding of emptiness in terms of dependent origination.
должностью в Шучута.
So when we do the recitation of Heart Sutra, those who are familiar with Heart Sutra should reflect upon the meaning of that scripture, and those who are not familiar but are practicing Buddhists should utilize the occasion to contemplate on the enlightening qualities of the body, speech, and mind of Buddha, the fully enlightened one. And among the members of the ordinance, those who are not practicing Buddhists, such as practitioners of other faith traditions, as well as non-believers, you can then take this opportunity to have a little rest when we do the chanting.
That's enough.
Then we will recite the salutation verses from Nagarjuna's stanzas on the fundamental wisdom of the middle way, and also Maitreya's Abhisamaya Alamkara, ornament of clear realizations. So other than these, we won't have any other preliminary recitations or mandala offering.
Simply the day, Jambu Chayong in the Zane, and then Jambu the Tisumo, maybe Jambu Chabare. The Imbetadi, and a Changzu part of Tani Jepsuchi, Sagi, tūjī chāpa rā shāpa tīgī, and the tīrī thūmūmī chāmbu shāyī yārī. Tā tī chāmbu tā sāngjī nīgā kāvlī yā, āni chāngjū pārdu tā nē kyao sū chī sāyā jā. Tā kī chī sū jī bē sā nā jī sāyā gī, tā nī tāyā mūtu wā. Tā wā kyao sū jō bē tā, sāng kyao bā bē tā, shāyī bē sā nē, tīndrē tā tī, āni kāsū rē. 都是写写，那么俺就落天机里呀，就让给俺给，俺那七八个大写下去，就落了七的那我们先去给，对，因为下下子的啊，得没用吧？啊，跟着呢，大写下去就穿越就啥呢？俺那碰碰啊了，带呢，七十年过的送我们先碰碰啊了，带呢，大上不大去落了呀，全部写写，俺那大大的七十几个双人写了。 成就法都打你就是七十二个，成就天运的，这是全部钱呐。哎，算那个错的，一些个错，你敢老唱去不要的。哎，你，就给大概结束几个，创的第四的啊个，这个，哎，各位讲的大概结束几个，算那第四几个多啊？那就蛮值的些。大概结束几个，创的第四老百姓呢？哎，算那个错的，一些个错，你敢老，他，过唱的了去。
但你个老，但告诉我的，女的差的要的，穿你个，大概说就算了，就是老百姓呢，穿你是穿的，算了我穿，其他都是少的，这是俺的，大概说就算了，你是老那六七万的，加起来的，大概说就算了，就是这样的，六七六七的，等把这七七，一个大大三个七都穿不够多了呀，人心没个装不的，穿不起来就上当了，那你养出来。Next,
we will generate the awakening mind, bodhicitta, and this will be done on the basis of a recitation of one stanza. And the first two lines pertain to going for refuge in the three jewels, and then the remaining two lines pertain to reaffirming and generating the bodhicitta, the awakening mind. So in this context, since the going for refuge is done in conjunction with generating bodhicitta, the awakening mind, and the form of refuge that you take in this particular context is that of a unique Mahayana, the great vehicle approach, partly because when you go for refuge in the lines that you recite, you state that I shall go for refuge until the attainment of full enlightenment. So you specify a time frame which is your expressing the wish to go for refuge to in the three jewels until you attain full enlightenment. So that is what makes it quite unique, makes it the Mahayana form of taking refuge. This is then followed by two lines where you say that through engaging in practices such as giving and so on, I shall generate, may through the engaging in the practice of generosity, giving and so on, may I attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings. So these two lines relate to the generation of the awakening mind. And in both of these instances, and there is a reference to the person, the individual, I shall go for refuge until the attainment of Buddhahood. And then in the next second part, there is another reference to the I shall attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings. So when reflecting upon these lines, especially when you reflect upon the term I, here it is important to be aware of the emptiness of one's own existence as presented in the Heart Sutra that we spoke about, that although if you examine your own normal sense of selfhood, we tend to believe that there is something called I, which is eternal and enduring within us, something that is the experiencer of all our subjective experiences. It is something that, you know, that that is the core of our being. We tend to believe in some kind of enduring eternal reality within ourselves. But as presented in the Heart Sutra, this is a false conception. The I that we tend to perceive does not really exist in the manner in which we perceive them. The I, even our own existence, is devoid of intrinsic existence, intrinsic reality. So one should reflect upon the emptiness of the I, and then go for refuge, the three jewels, and generate the altruistic awakening mind for the benefit of all beings. And so in this way, if you reflect upon these lines, this constitutes the practice of accumulating both merit and wisdom. That's why in the last line, you say that by engaging in practices such as generosity and so on, through the power of the accumulations created by engaging in practices such as generosity, may I attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings. So these accumulations refer to both the accumulation of merit and wisdom. So in this way, your practice of going for refuge and generating the awakening mind will be complete.
Sanje Shadong, Saji Shadong La, Chanjo Bado Dane, Jehoje, Dage Jezo, Jebe, Sadamje, Dola, Benje, Sanje, Dovorosh, Sanje Shadong, Saji Shadong La, Chanjo Bado Dane, Jehoje, Dage Jezo, Jebe, Sadamje, Dola, Benje, Sanje, Dovorosh, Sanje Shadong, Saji Shadong La, Chanjo Bado Dane, Jehoje, Dage Jezo, Jebe, Sadamje, Sanjian Rovara Sho.
That's the end. Dayagi, Shundi, and a Lubin Beme, and a Perlia Pimni, that Tho in Cheje, Chusun Dizen, and a Kungo Tolia has his. That's the same thing.
So the text that is being used as the basis for our lecture series is the Garland of Views, and this was originally given as a series of instructions to the Tibetan monarch Tisong Desen and his circle of attendants, royal family members and so on, and Padmasambhava, the great Indian master who came to Tibet, He gave series of instructions to the monarch and the various circles of the king. And these various instructions were later, before Padmasambhava left Tibet, he put them together in the form of a note. So that's why in the title of the text, we read the explicit reference to it as a note summarizing the different views and so on. So this reference to the term note in Tibetan, kyujang, indicates that, and this was specifically composed by Padmasambhava as a kind of a summary of all the various instructions he gave to the monarch Tisong Desen and his attendants.
That, Chenida
와다 아니 켄진다 로빈이 아니 슈스마신데 탑시 숭지르 디타네 아니 별 강정 정도야 용수도가 산지의 담바디 아니 아 나면서 사기 쪽 아니 사도 쓰고 좀더 마세베 마음발다 베 땡준베 유증부 내야게 아니 그게 통문 삼조 처지 어디디 난세 다 뒤 다져봐도 별 강정기 용수도가 산지의 담바서야 돼 중앙인 거지.
So it was in the 8th century, the Tibetan monarch Tisong Desen invited from India the great Nalanda master, one of the greatest scholars of his time, Shantarakshita, who was not only a great established and highly respected Nalanda master but in Buddhism in general, but particularly his expertise in the fields of Buddhist epistemology and Madhyamaka philosophy of emptiness was highly revered. So this great Indian master, Shantarakshita, was invited, along with also the great realized tantric master, Padmasambhava, who was also invited to Tibet. And through the combination of the efforts of these two great Indian masters, Shantarakshita and also Padmasambhava, a complete form of Buddhism was established in Tibet, not only fully established, but also it was established with a powerful aspiration for its long-term survival. And as a consequence of that, today, to this day, the complete form of Buddhism survives in the Tibetan tradition, and it is to their kindness that we are able to see this.
So that's it. 뭐랬다? 다들 내가 명아 따위 청와서야. 단디 애니 대바. 다 지 차체디 애니 롱숨 벤지다. 해지다 노동자 지 공지 말이 조지 대로 그들도 앞에 지 있어요. 개발 전부 주시오. 롱숨 벤지다. 공개 있는 대바 지. 단디네 치수 저한테 지 명아 따위 청와디 벌급다 그게 사람 그게 가소래 즉 생년으로 된 사람 다 매듭지 도스 대접지 냠대버지 아니 천세공부 거리야 폐지디 엔 타베로야 난세 라소로 지 나이었어요 제니다 경고능이 있습니다 천세공부 다 가족을 메시지 토요일에 아니 저기 공주를 붙이 장물로도 타야 공기 아니 뒤인 잡아지 제도와 전에 다 해지 미공기 죽여서 근데 안 되지 두두 집이 땜배님의 로마 아니 출루 그 출루 상무 임배유 해지 출루 상무 임배유 공기 잡아 그냥 뉴부지 야우시도 띵년제 다디디 근데만 가시시 예배 나네 드림에만 쉬어야지 공주를 무시 장물로를 타야 숨디 세부채 야우사도 저당에 또 드림에만 쉬나 삼차야수
So this text, the root text that we are using for our teachings, Garland of Views, there were among the commentaries, the classical or traditional commentaries on this particular text, the earliest is by Rongsom Pandita, who was somewhat contemporary to the great Indian master Adisha. So Rongsom, since Rongsom came, it has been nearly 1,000 years. And Rongsom's commentary, the Rongsom Pandita was a great scholar, and his commentary is one of the earliest. So there is that commentary. But however, subsequently, over a long period of time, it seems that the study and the practice of this particular instructional text seems to have degenerated and almost kind of disappeared. So it was the great master Jamyang Khenze Wangpo who was responsible for reviving the study and the practice and teaching of this text. And one of the principal disciples of Jamyang Kenze was Jamgon Kongtrul, Kongtrul Lodre Thaye, who wrote a commentary, a very clear and explicit commentary on this text. And it seems that Mipham has also written a commentary. And the student of Dodub, Jingme Tembe Nima, a student called Sudum Sangpo, also has composed a very short a summary type commentary, which I have also read. Among these various commentaries, the one that I'm using for my as a basis for my own explanation here is that of Jamgon Kongtrul's, which is very explicit and also clear. As for the transmission of the teaching on this text, I have received a transmission of the commentary from Dingo Kenzi Rinpoche once, and I have received the transmission on the basis of the root text itself from Tushi Rinpoche later. So now we will start reading the text. The English translation is on page
33. 나 다가 청와시샤와 수수 다와서 태과로 소배 체벌을 뒤위 뒤장 다 다와당 태과 수수자네 지다에네 다와수수자네 다프게 해지지 리름 장네 지금 둠대 남차 내지 가네 다 둠저서야지 그게 짜라체네 에네 리그에 다 별로 룽자 조금해도 룽더 리그에 에네 지금 두주지 다 땅을 펴네 아다 다 전전에보다 아다 지금 룸도 집에 타네 지금 땜뱀이 지금 소수다 탐자로 지금 다 숨대하 전전 집에야 다시 두배 타세요 그렇지 숨겨서래 지리양 좀더 쓰는 변화 남자의 그들이야 아니 천지 좀더 잡고 뭐 유나스 좀더 써야 돼 그게 토저 터도 그게 시행도 와 다 가서 우리 그게 남자의 지금 내부터도 그래요 좀더 써야게 다니엘의 숨도 와 저다 간다 좀더 세야 시기냥 그 유서 매나매나 연대와 다 안들지 좀더 시사하고 친하고 좀더 쓰대하다 좀더 뒤인 말이 다 전에들 따와서야지 회집 좀더 다 제대 제수세 제 태과서 대하지 삼바 자체 중국왕이 태과서 제의 아래 터지 차네 다 따와서 그 회집 실부 차네 태과서는 터지 차네 근데 인도 다 상제배 그러나 출루나 사샤나 다외관에 좀 더 시시하게 아니 지나마 더더바 삼삼 오모 봤어 태외관에 세베이나 삼바 자시 좀 왕기 년도기 태과 라사제의 태과 태신의 태과 아니 태신의 태과라 제라도 아니 바로도 신의 태과다 대우성아 다시 태과시니 다도 삼백원의 책임이요 아래 자 다지는 대변이 따와다 그러다 둥다다 태과신 두스 다 니유 체인 주자네 태과 태신 것 제나야 그냥 둥다 가로를 태면배 둥다 좀 봐요 이겨봐 이봐요 좋아 야 태과 멤버 제니 그냥 둥다 태신 둥다 좀 봐요 용기하래 제단 태과를 야 지중 니체 대신도 둥달래 참도 니보지 태면이 둥다 웃음 이부지, 대신 좀 더 세게 하래. 나 태과, 니아랑 태과 이부지, 태과 나봐. 아니, 전주 선배 태과 뒤, 태과 친구 시에.
So we read from the beginning of the text, the title of the text is Instruction.
변화이니, 변화, 따와, 치다마에 따와, 숭갱기, 아니, 전주 선배 뒤, 이부지 하래. 사실, 이 300번에 대신 봐. 그 다음, 탑이 시, 시절을 그 차네, 한다, 가족들 시장말들도 지내봐 회식용아야 이 말이 나야 니야랑 파파라고 니야랑 운동부들도 해야지 따위 차네 퇴신이 좀 더 진댕해 우매 따와는 진댕해 야는 웃음 그다 따와 그런 진댕해 다 좋은 우매 따와는 진댕해 야 삼배 차네 장두 이지 삼배 타바정 저는 여와 인도산에 조금해
So the title of the text is Instruction on the Garland of Views, and the opening line states that it's a note summarizing the different views and vehicles and so on. So there's a reference to the term views as opposed to vehicles. And views here really refers to philosophical views, which is the views that are part of the tenets of the philosophical schools. So generally, when we use the term trupta, the philosophical tenet, it refers to established standpoints of philosophical schools or traditions that have been arrived at as a result of a process of reasoning and process of understanding certain scriptural authorities. So on the combination of scriptural authority and a reasoning process, one arrives at certain standpoints, and these standpoints are referred to as the philosophical tenets. So the views here refers to those type of standpoints, the views that the philosophical schools have arrived at as a result of a reasoning and also understanding of certain scriptural authorities. And vehicles here refer to the vehicles of the path, so which are such as the vehicles of the disciples, hearers, and vehicles of the self-realized ones, or the Pratyeka Buddhas and the Bodhisattva vehicles. So in essence, the different views are ways of understanding different standpoints from the point of view of wisdom, aspect of the path, and vehicles, differences of vehicles, understood from the point of view of the method or the skillful means aspect of the path. So from the point of view of the wisdom aspect of the path, for example, in the Buddhist tradition, one speaks of four schools of Buddhist philosophical traditions. These are the Vaipashika, Sotrantika, Chittamatra, the mind only, and middle way, Madhyamaka. And from the point of view of the method aspect of the path, one speaks of the various vehicles, the lesser vehicle and the great vehicle, Mahayana. And within the lesser vehicle, you have the disciples' vehicle, the Shravaka, and the Pratyaga Buddha, or the self-realized one's vehicle. And so in the great vehicle, Mahayana, you have the Sutra vehicle, the perfection vehicle, and Vajrayana, which is the tantric vehicle. So these distinctions are made, the differences in the views are, or the philosophical schools, differences of the philosophical schools are understood on the basis of the philosophical views of the individuals, and differences of the vehicles is understood from the point of view of the courage and also the motivation of the practitioners. So, and there can be, therefore, individuals whose philosophical inclination may be that of, say, a Mahayana, understanding of emptiness according to Madhyamika, middle way, and so on. But in terms of their enlightened courage, or in terms of their motivation, their primary spiritual motivation may be to attain liberation rather than Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings. So these individuals, from the point of view of vehicle, they are followers of lesser vehicle, but from the point of view of their philosophical tenet, they are followers of the great vehicle. So similarly, there could be individuals whose philosophical inclinations may be that of Vaipashika, so which is a lesser vehicle philosophy, but from the point of view of their courage and motivation, they could be followers of the Mahayana path, where their spiritual motivation is to seek Buddhahood or full enlightenment for the benefit of all beings, but their own philosophical persuasions may lie more in that direction of Vaibhashika, Sotrantika, and so on. So one should have an understanding that the differences of
great and lesser in terms of the views may not correspond exactly to the differences of the great and the lesser with relation to the vehicles.
Yeah, yeah. That day, Tawada, Tekbala, Sope, or the Tanga system is here. So, the new Ganada, this shake, the Tungu Jundua, say, the Tangling Tekwa. That the name, Tekjink Tekwa. The name, Sanga Tekwa, the name. Dine tepo sumu sayam de shesu jiong de gduwa. Shani ini, di sumu di dremi sori si de aji. Di ta, no de gare. Gata nyendu ki tepo sani. Ta, jimden de gi, si toma dingshi chonggo bwa ni, ta yongda gama sumu de aji, dene sumu sumu de aji di, gudu ni ta, gata ji, The body is the same as the body. 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 조금 줄 속은 어디서 대디 인디가는 내배견 러대야지 대신도 상하도지 태고 쓰잖아요. 진대기 태고 시중 안다 가서 그랬다 주산다 빨리는 송세배 안다다 탱맹도 신의민도 빠지는 데변이 탱맹이 도디 이디기네 송세배 주저디 이디 다라 규파르도 신배 태배변의 송세배 친두디 이디 내배견 디시를 샤베 타라 아니 상하도지 대회 아니 동유도의 손으로 살을 샤베 아니 차이는 저도 디강에 내배 잼니 그래야지 차대 열에 마도 태고슴 신 타니시 채 아니 디에도 소소소리스 아니 어디 가시기 아니 거도 탱매버리 사로 나도 태심으로 사로 나도 상하버리 사람들 시에체 아니 상하버 인생은 상하버 태치는 누월로 뛰모으면 서로 제주세배 때 늘 뛰어먹는 소리인데, 가시가시, 얌사오드는 영원되기도 와. 아, 늘 대디, 멍다 땡기어래. 마시베다, 간다들이. 꽤, 죄송합니다. 님이 이르자네. 아, 나, 쌍아도 이제 태보세야지. 태신기 쿵지인 말이. 나도 지난 태보시 중이, 나 태면이야. 년류기 태보다, 랑산지기 태보, 니체래. 태보 숨, 쟤는 숨대야. 나도 흉란의 숨쉬어래. 그는 터도 태고 숨 열에 여말에 세하러 다시 내시는 뭔가 연대기도 와. 사실 내인들 태고 숨 못하는데 지단 또 숨이 쉬어서 제외이는 니아랑 창승 말해 니아랑이 창승이 성대기도 와. 태고 지중이 있으려면 따고 니아랑이 지부터. 죄송아. 가다상아도 이제 태고서 태진이 낭차리야. 다 태진은 낭세기 있는 기관 중에 태고는 태고상아도 이제 태고왔어요. 뒤 다음은 신인들 그래.
So, in this regard of understanding the differences of vehicles and so on, something that is important to bear in mind is that because of the language of the different vehicles, the lesser vehicle, the greater vehicle, and within lesser vehicle, the disciple and self-realized ones and so on, sometimes there is a tendency on part of some individuals to really understand these different vehicles to be somehow unrelated and independent of each other, and which is a totally wrong way of understanding the Buddhist teachings. Because if you look at the teachings of all the vehicles, in fact, you will understand that all the key teachings of the Pali tradition, the Pali scriptures, which are all developed on the basis of the councils that took place following the death of the Buddha, which are enshrined in the Pali scriptures. And the main subject matter of these scriptures are the teachings of the Four Noble Truths, the teachings on the 37 aspects of the path to enlightenment, the teachings on the 12 links of dependent origination. All of these teachings really represent the basic structure and the framework of the Buddhist path to enlightenment. And it is only on the basis of such foundation one can then speak about the relevance and the validity of those other teachings that are presented in the Mahayana, the great vehicle scriptures, such as the teaching on emptiness, the six perfections or the ten perfections and so on. So it is on the foundation of the teachings that are presented in the lesser vehicle scriptures that one can then add the other practices such as the six perfections and so on. Similarly, it is on the basis of the foundational teachings of the Pali scriptures and also the foundational teachings of the sutra vehicle, the perfection vehicle, one can then add on to them the uniqueness of the Vajrayana teachings and the practices such as the deity yoga. So without the foundational basis of the other teachings, there is simply no relevance and the place for the teaching and the practices of the Vajrayana. So to have the understanding that somehow Vajrayana is totally independent from the other vehicles, and the three vehicles are independent of each other, and sometimes there is also a tendency on the part of some individuals to proclaim themselves as the followers of Mahayana, the great vehicle, or follower of Vajrayana, the tantric vehicle, and then belittle the teachings of the ethical discipline that are found in the Pali scriptures, and also to dismiss them as these are teachings of the lesser vehicle, and proclaim oneself as the follower of the great vehicle. Similarly, on the part of those who proclaim to follow the Vajrayana path, there is sometimes a tendency to dismiss the sutra teachings, saying that these are teachings of the sutra path, and we are followers of Vajrayana. So, and then there is a tendency to belittle them as if they are not relevant and they are not necessary. Such attitude is totally not only erroneous, but also it reflects a fundamental flaw in one's understanding of the Buddha's teaching. It reflects an ignorance on the part of the practitioner. So it is important to understand that the teachings found in all the various vehicles and the terminology of the three vehicles are actually found in the scriptures themselves. The lesser vehicle is divided into the vehicle of the disciple, Shravaka, and the vehicle of the Pratyaga Buddha, or the self-realized ones. And the Mahayana vehicle, which is the great vehicle, is further divided into the Bodhisattva vehicle and the Vajrayana or the Tantric vehicle. So even this way of understanding the vehicle itself indicates that the Vajrayana is not independent of Mahayana. Vajrayana is a subsect or subdivision of the Mahayana or the great vehicle. So it is important to understand the actual relationships between the vehicles. So, and furthermore, in terms of the attainment of the realizations presented in these scriptures, and the realizations that are described in the lesser vehicle scriptures, these can be attained on the basis of practicing and following the teachings found in the lesser vehicle scriptures. However, in order to gain the realization of the realizations and experiences that are described in the higher vehicle, such as Mahayana and Vajrayana and so on, it is impossible to have such realization without having the basis of the realizations explained and described in the lesser vehicle. So to gain the realization described in the lesser vehicle, there is no need to depend upon the teachings of the higher vehicle, but in order to gain the realizations described in the higher vehicle, there is the indispensability of having the foundation of the realizations explained in the lesser vehicle.
Oh yeah. That's it. 다와탄 태과로 속에서 속도되기 폐실 다양 다 태과에 여우면 봐 그때 공허하게 개발해서 제시 시험을 수능도 와 sāda tī sāgō nāng tī tūshū mē rō sām chāng sō.
And in the subtitle, we read a note summarizing the different views, vehicles, and so on. So this so on or etc. refers to a kind of a further subdivision, such as within the Vajrayana, the various classes of Tantra, and so on. Then the text opens with a sentence that statement that the countless erroneous views that exist in the realm of the world may be subsumed into four categories. So in the world of human beings, there are among the individuals there are so many different philosophical persuasions and points of view, and many of these points of view are erroneous, and also many of these points of view are totally a lack of understanding or ignorance. So these various points of view, if they are subsumed, the text states that they can be subsumed into four categories. These are one, the unreflective, which refers to the ones who simply do not have any understanding. And the second one is the materialists, and third, the nihilists, and fourth, the extremists. So the text reads that then it defines the first type of erroneous view, which is referred to as the unreflective. The Tibetan term is chelpa,
And it reads that the unreflective do not understand whether or not all things and events have causes and conditions. And they are thoroughly ignorant. So the reference here is not to a simple understanding of everyday events, like if someone were to plant a seed, that you would expect a shoot, a sprout coming out, or eventually having a fruit and so on. That type of cause and conditions, of course, everybody can understand, and everybody knows this. But what is being referred to here are types of people who, apart from day-to-day experience and everyday experience, they have no tendency to be reflective. They simply do not wish to contemplate what are the ultimate origins of everything, whether or not, you know, in terms of tracing the chain of causation, we go back to the origin of the cosmos and life and so on. Majority of people simply do not have the tendency to be such reflective and reflect deeply into the causes and conditions that give rise to all things and events. Similarly, the text states that these people are those who, for example, will not reflect upon such as whether or not there is a creator for the origin of the universe, or whether or not there is life after death, and so on. And so here, although this particular type of standpoint is referred to as an erroneous view, strictly speaking, accurately presented, it's more like a form of ignorance. There's simply a lack of interest or lack of reflectiveness. So, in a sense, this fairly characterizes the standpoint and persuasion of many of us. You know, we simply do not wish to be that kind of reflective. So the next view is that of the materialist. So this is the second standpoint, and the text reads, the materialists do not understand whether or not there exists previous and subsequent lives, and relying upon the words of mundane secrets, they acquire wealth and power only for this one life. So the term referring to the second type of standpoint in the Tibetan is Gyangpen, which is the same term, the name of an Indian philosophical school called Charvaka. But in this context here, we are not referring to Charvaka as a philosophical school, but rather to a materialistic standpoint of individuals, which these are individuals whose main concern really is the affairs and concerns of this life. And then they are reflective, and they are deeply concerned about the well-being of this particular life. They reject any notion of a possibility of life pre-existence or future lives. And however, for the sake of the welfare of this life, they rely on, the text refers to as a mundane secret. And this probably refers to forms of rituals of propitiation of spirits and nagas and so on, which were current in the early days time. So these individuals rely on those types of rites of propitiation then go about seeking the various ways in which their aspiration for the concerns of this life could be fulfilled. So the second standpoint is therefore described as the materialist standpoint.
但第二个的配置马多巴所有所说吧신지도도도고패지란말이다가다더나마저비채엔다고남의리우샤다치는마도바다치조우치구다
So just as in the first standpoint, this second standpoint too, here it's not so much an erroneous view, but it's more a form of an unreflectiveness. It's a lack of understanding or lack of willingness to probe beyond a certain level. So this falls into more accurately characterized as a lack of understanding or lack of reflectiveness.
단지는이슈제물투과서숨바물투과니최참제규정되고매바때에서다매바따와때에서따로도어셔다예즉그지땅한거에여말에진짜지도도봐예최참제규정되고매바때에서실질적계획을쇼점적루브도깨라깨봐따라서전전적으로따와대타쳐봐따와오스실질따지기아니체다라는샤난군대김제도죽었지난무디장매봐라나깨와가지민정에레존데민정에따와전전이해지인사
And then the third standpoint is the nihilistsAnd this is definitely a philosophical standpoint in the sense that we understand. So the text reads, the nihilists view all phenomena to be devoid of cause and effect and maintain all elements of existence that have come about in this one life as having done so accidentally. And thus they uphold nihilism. So this refers to philosophical schools such as the Indian Charvaka school where it's not a matter of lack of understanding or where it's not a matter of a willingness to be reflective but rather here is an active persuasion of rejecting any long-term causality to events but rather through using philosophical analysis and reasoning they come to the conclusion that all the elements of our existence that are that come about in this life come about randomly and accidentally with no underlying cause, deeper causes. And so in this way, they uphold a form of nihilism. And this is definitely, from the Buddhist point of view, an erroneous standpoint, an erroneous view.
Hmm.당연제지디시아베로자장하다마란조제다천너시도드리는게파샤천디거랑네아니몽구지태지다친구부여태짱짱리야다이그로롯대체我不也在亲，说是我的，人家是我不亲，我不尊敬人家，对的，长嘛，哎呢，单独电话里去，我的三百，但都是吃的呢，我说蒙古多吧，但他那个是，他那个是，但这两个都是三五十单过的嘞，俺那是他，这边地基的，面对的东西，第二个咯，你呀。日本人多啊，做旅途了准备地主机，当然做一路多么了点点的个地主机人多啊，这张牌是屯住做嘞，第二个了牌是要嘞，热的一年，但没了呀，一路的这个那么多呗，就到处去啊！是那么多，这个那么多的，这就如果熟起来，差了就越不严重。提出的，提了点呗，提出个错的，点点熟起来要的。当然，闽南族在了点呢，哎，你生个提出的，下来不给他，吞不吃不有的不是，对吧？ 但是我们那时候的本来我们就这个绿色的电白基督基督深色的电白基督基督也对吧对本来我们就绿色这个电话圣灵民族刚才等一遍呢绿色电话的这个娘心被合作了什么了没对我吃不也对啊然后呢绿色东西娘心被合作了什么了被这个一清白这个呢被等一下吃不也对吧你啊就用不得吧所以这个绿色的这边地图就在做呢他说的这个一路的这边地图就你也把这都写出来
So here in this context it is important to understand relate these observations to one's own personal case let us leave aside the questions of rebirth possibility of life after deathfuture existence and pre-existence and so on. Let us leave aside that question. Even in the case of our everyday experience of happiness and well-being of this life, there is a tendency on the part of many people to believe that the conditions for happiness lies almost exclusively in the external facilities and conditions, including acquisition of wealth, money and so forth.And quite often people tend to believe that the sources of happiness really lies outside and on the basis of that premise we tend to expend our energy and dedication to fulfilling that aspiration to attain happiness by focusing our attention almost exclusively externally. However, if we reflect, take a stand and reflect, you know,bit more deeply, we will come to understand that although we all have the natural disposition to seek happiness and to overcome suffering, when we speak of the suffering and suffering that we wish to overcome and the happiness that we wish to seek, in fact, it turns out that there are two levels of experience of happiness and suffering. On the one hand, we have the experience of happiness and suffering,primarily related to the experience of our physical existence, our physical, corporeal existence, the bodily existence. And on another level, we have experiences of pain, joy, happiness, and so on that relate primarily to the level of thoughts and emotions, so which is a mental level of experience of joy and happiness and suffering. So,how do we know this? We can simply observe that we can imagine a situation where although we may be enjoying the best facilities around us, even in that kind of context of physical comfort, you can have an individualwhose state of mind is deeply disturbed, is in pain and suffering. Similarly, a same individual in the same kind of physical surrounding of comfort can have a mental state which is joyous, happy and contented, so on. So this shows that in terms of our experience, we have a level of experience that is on the physical state,and level of experience that is on the level of thoughts and emotions. So, now, generally speaking, in terms of these two levels of experience, even the animals, to some extent, possess these two levels of experience of the physical and the mental. But with relation to human beings, what is unique is because of the tremendous sophistication of our faculty of intelligence and also imagination,human beings have a much greater scope for the experience of the mental level where, and also these experiences of pain and joy on the mental level have a deep impact on our experience. And the fact that this is so is really a fact of reality. We can observe and understand that there is a level of experience
which is on the level of thoughts and emotions, which leave very strong impact of our own experience of joy and happiness, is something that we can understand by simple reflection. So it is important to understand that when we think of happiness that we seek and suffering that we wish to avoid, we have this much more nuanced and deeper understanding of the nature of suffering and happiness. So between these two levels of experience of happiness and joy, the one which is on the level of physical experiences, particularly of the senses, the five senses, so the sensory experience, and the level of emotions and thoughts, between these two, now let us ask ourselves the question, which level of experience is more acute and more powerful? So here, if we reflect deeply, we can imagine that if the individual state of mind is contented and happy and joyous, and there is a deep sense of satisfaction, so in that case, the individual, in some cases, even if the individual may be facing great hardships on the physical level, the individual, because of the state of mind being contented and happy and fulfilled and satisfied, the individual can, that experience of the mental and the emotions and thought can supersede and override the physical level of discomfort and pain. On the other hand, even though the individual may be surrounded by the best of facilities of that are necessary for physical comfort, if the individual's mind is totally agitated and is in pain and deeply perturbed and disturbed, then even though this person may be listening to his favorite music or have the most comfortable and pleasant clothes or being served the best tasting and delicious meal or coming into contact with the most fragrant smell and so on, because of the power of the mental disturbance of this individual who is in pain and a deep sense of unhappiness, none of these experiences the individual will be able to enjoy. So what this indicates is that the mental level of experience of joy or pain can override and supersede the physical level of discomfort and pain, whereas the mental level of the physical level of comfort and happiness cannot supersede and override the pain and the suffering that is the level of emotions and thoughts. So once you understand this kind of differences between the two, we will come to recognize that the experience of pain and happiness and joy on the level of thoughts and emotion is much more acute and powerful than on the level of the senses.
Today in this 다 루솔 야와 용약이 아니 가서 치 튕긴 뒤에 되기 섬집 동에 세퇴하시 세윤은 돼야 맹해지 차윤도 다 섬집 뒤도 뒤 섬집 동에 세야다 섬집 때와 주야기 탑시디 침묵 다 제동으로 와 침묵 뒤도 루족이 동에 세야다 지 뒤에 주야기 차진에 마도 이루 떡배관계 뒤로 들어 침묵이 튕긴 제동으로 와 저들이 메인드선에다 이루 떡배관에 연대하게 뒤도 그 개척을 찾아봤다 달래야 거라 이루 거랑하기 때문에 다 동해서야다 대화도야게 탑시지 재국요하래 저들이 메인드 다 침묵을 짱짱래야 로데르 주에시에 대샤나 죽임이 누가 다 낭삼류 때문에 간다 섬주 동해 시설지기 삼루지 땅고야지
So, given that no matter how pleasurable and comfortable one's physical experiences may be in terms of facilities and material wealth and so on, since it cannot override and supersede the experience of pain and suffering on the level of thoughts and emotions, what this indicates is that in all, and since the experience of pain and suffering and so on the level of emotions and thought is so dominant and acute for us human beings, what this indicates is that we need to find a way, a method, a means by which we can learn to overcome and remove or overcome this particular level of suffering and pain. So what we come to recognize is that many of the external facilities such as material wealth, acquisition of things and money and so forth, these really pertain to factors that are necessary for creating a level of comfort on the body, on the bodily existence, on the level of the senses. But with relation to our aspiration to overcome suffering and pain on the level of thoughts and emotions, they have not much role to play. We need to find a role and method, we need to find a method and means which are much more appropriate to the seeking of overcoming the suffering on the level of emotions and thoughts. So here what is required is a cultivation of certain way of thinking, an attitude, and you know, states of mind which are the appropriate resources for to help us overcome mental suffering and pain. So what this in conclusion what this suggests to us is that to place all our hopes and trust in the external material conditions for the alleviation of suffering is really a misplaced hope. We need to seek some other means in addition to the material facilities to help us overcome the suffering that we all wish to avoid. Sorry, and here what is required primarily is a way in which one can cultivate a peace of mind, calmness and tranquility within oneself.
That? 趁你讲讲的 都是黄土全是他们赢了的，他们赢了，赢是没事的，但是一路这个的东岸牛肉断崖的，这个一次没断崖的呀，赢是没事去，但是国家，但是没办法说的，但要到蒙古团的下边呢，去古窑的嘛，到下边呢去买个汤呢，一路在东岸牛肉断崖的，台湾毛肉断崖的，他不是，啊，他是要的什么？ 다디 되게 세대하게 땅 안주 밀리야 참바다지 세워세대하지 안주 로켄지리야 코라디 사빈시도가 나 드는데 왜 참지세하게 나도 런신기다 최 깨지시고 말해 최 맹행 미시베 있네 참지세하고 미 참부치않아 가부시 우도와 시행지 랑라 참지치않아 랑라 가부 용에게 미지 네바도 코랄레 샹다파 참지땡하게 네바 여덟시텐데 샹지 수 참지체알이야 말해 다 랑레야 참지 파샤로 싸워내 맹해지는 샹지 참지체발라 태지 소나 용 말했었는데 자 디디 인베 인두 코 가다 말한도 다 밑둑사 그리스베 있네요 콜리야 그 닝예의 조부지기 참지 넘겨 땜베이나 그 땜데 세우 나라리야 소스무지 땜데 용기가 자 디디 인베 인두 딘데게 다 밑둑고 생시베 있네 대줄리야 참지 파샤 이거 다 세우시라래 밀생지를 다 디나도 용대도 가 와다 디 Simply to me, Nundu Doyada, Yiluta to me, Nundu Doyada, similar, Yi Dawayagi, Tashi Dorothy, Marango, Lia Rances, Yetere, Che Yemil Mateva, Usul, Yameva, Change Yemil Yameva, and the Miri Yameva, Tamja Lalia, Rangin Rangi, Takaranzo, Ame, Kogane, Jin Yume, Ame Wome, Sokone, Samalalia, Sere Pasa, Deneo.
So here, strictly from the point of view of this life alone, as explained before, to place our trust and hope entirely in the factors of external means is a misplaced hope, that we need some other method, some other means. And here, I personally believe that although on a deeper level, practice of religious teachings and spiritual faith may be important, but purely from the point of view of the well-being of this life alone, my own personal view is that one can find a method and a means by which one can bring about the resources of overcoming suffering and seeking happiness that we aspire to without resorting to any religious faith and religious belief. And here, I think the key really is the, as explained before, the basic human, the fundamental human values, and particularly loving kindness and compassion. And I believe that it's not a question of religious faith, that I believe that by the simple biological constitution of our body, we human beings have a natural capacity and seed for affection. The natural capacity and the seed for generating affection lies in all of us by nature. And this is because all of us have the capacity to appreciate when other fellow human beings express affection towards us. No matter how evil and no matter how negative an individual person may be, this person, if a loved one of that individual, a family member or someone, a friend, shows affection to that individual, this individual will be capable of responding to that. That simple, you know, fact reflects that in this individual, at least there is the seed for affection and compassion. Because my belief is that if we human beings do not have a seed or capacity to express affection to others, then in that case, even if someone else shows affection to you, that individual simply would not be able to respond to that, because there will be simply no basis for appreciating that kind of expression of kindness or concern or caring. So the fact that we all have this natural capacity to respond to others' affection indicates that we do possess, each of us, within us, the seed for affection and compassion. And I believe that it is the cultivation of that enhancement and cultivation of that compassion, the seed for compassion and affection, that really is the key for bringing about happiness and overcoming of suffering on the level of thoughts and emotion. So, and in this respect, there is no differences between
whatsoever between the educated or the uneducated, between the wealthy, rich or poor, no ethnic differences, or whether or not the individual is a religious believer or a not religious believer, insofar as the seed for compassion is concerned and also the potential for their cultivation in all of us is concerned, there is no difference whatsoever. We are all fundamentally equal in that respect.
Basic human value promotion.
And it's also mentioned that so long as we are an individual, a human being who has been born from a mother's womb, so long as we are human beings who have been nourished and nurtured on mother's milk, we will share this basic capacity and basic nature and disposition for appreciation of affection and compassion. And because of this fundamental belief, I always make the effort to share with as many people as possible the need, the tremendous importance of recognizing the value of these fundamental human values and the need to cultivate and enhance them. And this is what I refer to as the perspective of the secular ethics, the promotion of the understanding of the secular ethics. In actual fact, among the more than 6 billion human beings that live on this planet today, majority of us, majority of the human beings will really belong in this category of secular ethics. So in actual fact, the majority of us human beings, out of the 6 billion of human beings, we will belong to this category of the unreflective, someone who does not concern too much about the deeper meanings of existence and the deeper causes and conditions, but rather our concerns remain primarily on the level of the concern and well-being of this life, day-to-day experience. And this will include even members of the monastic order who may put on robes, and also who may claim to be followers, explicit followers of the Buddha Shakyamuni, member of a monastic order and so on. But deep down, many of us who wear these clothes and make the statement of being explicitly a religious practitioner may deep down actually be following this path of the unreflective, where our concern may really be more about day-to-day experience and the well-being of this life.
So while we are giving sort of explanation about the nirvana or these things, but in practical level, more concerned about the dollar. So in order to get some dollar, selling dharma. So this is the indication. We are, appears like follow Buddha Shakyamuni, but in practical level, more concerned about daily life. So, theoretically, we belong Mahayana or Tantrayana. Practically, we belong, I think, this group. So, I think it is very, very important to remind from time to time and watch, check one's own way of thinking, behavior, and it is very important.
So the constant observation of one's body, speech, and mind is extremely important. Constant watch.
Uh, So external police intelligence. Police may be important, but most important is internal police. From time to time, watch oneself. Namukadambe at the bank hunge sedi ane ngarang sem ge khagole ya ane nyembun dongdu sun de ja bu de shen sha ge mes ane sem ge nane nyomu ge yin de sane dele nyembu de kho kha kho ka sa kho jin ne ma jin kho tho ne ma jin se da de mo ne de wa.
So when thinking about these along these lines, it really resonates deeply the sayings of the great Kadamba master. For example, the master Beng Gung Yin once stated that so far as his own spiritual practice is concerned, he has only one thing to do, which is to stand guard at the entrance of his mind with a spear in his hand, and whenever the mental afflictions arise, to immediately challenge it. And if the mental afflictions are becoming more and more clever and more cunning, then he too needs to strengthen his own vigilance and be equally clever to respond.
Kong ngam guma imre jeda shugo gelon nan sar jele ngam guma sha gwe be jalang sha je ni me chi kong da je jalang sha gan de tu cha cha ba lo wa.
It is said that this master was once a thief. So, and after, of course, he became a monk and became a great practitioner. So, when one day, when he was a monk, because of his old habit of stealing, one day he sort of, his hand reached out kind of automatically to steal something, his right hand. Then instantly he was able to recall his mindfulness and then grab his right arm with his left arm and screamed, "There is a thief here, there is a thief here."
Da jine mujigwa sari. Mujigwa ni chwe chamche lo kundu takwe takwa shi yuwa ra tate, tawa te. Telanya, Jumilan, Devu Yavar Tawada, Jundi Lover Tawada, Ju Yavaran, Devu Never Tawada, Didani, Marigwe Tawa, oh, said, that's one there, that Muriva said it, that Tundama, Savior, Tundama, that Delia, Chinang Tundama, Niche, that Jir Minala, Tundama, that Tundama, Menghengi, Niche, that under take it, even Pedro Tundama, Menghendri, that Tundama, Alia.
So then the fourth standpoint is referred to as the extremists, and this is defined in the text in the following. The extremists uphold the existence of an eternal self, for they reify all phenomena through conceptual imputation. These extremists comprise of those who view the presence of effects where there is no cause, those who view cause and effects erroneously, and those who view the absence of effects where there is a cause. All of these are views of ignorance. So this particular standpoint, extremists, really refer to adherence to philosophical schools. So generally speaking, within human beings, there will be those of adherence of a philosophical school and those who are not adherents to a particular philosophical school. So many of the views that are described earlier were, strictly speaking, not really
philosophical views as such, but rather representing a certain mental persuasions of individuals. But from here on, the views here refers to the views and standpoints of philosophical schools. So when we speak of philosophical schools in this context here, and broadly speaking, there is the Buddhist, there are the Buddhist schools on the one side and the non-Buddhists on the other. And the different demarcation between Buddhists as opposed to non-Buddhist philosophical schools is really made on the basis of whether or not a particular individual upholds what are referred to as the four seals or four axioms of Buddhism. And those who uphold the four seals are characterized as Buddhist philosophical adherents of Buddhist philosophical school, and those who reject the four axioms, four seals, but uphold a different standpoint are referred to as the non-Buddhist adherents of non-Buddhist philosophical schools. So the four seals or the four axioms of Buddhism refer to the following. All conditioned things are impermanent. And impermanence here refers to, generally speaking, when we talk about impermanence or the transient nature of things, we can understand on two levels, in terms of a continuum of a phenomena or a thing, or in terms of the moment-by-moment existence of a phenomena. We are all aware of the transient nature of things if we reflect upon the existence of a thing over a period of time. For example, in the case of our own experience, our own existence, we are born and then we live and then at some point we will die. So we all understand, even in relation to objects, we will understand that over a period of time these things will change and perish. But this is not the meaning of the real meaning of impermanence in the Buddhist context. The real meaning of impermanence in the Buddhist context really refers to understanding impermanence in terms of moment by moment existence. Because if there is no process of a change on a moment by moment basis, then one cannot account for the change across over a period of time. So, for example, if we take the example of our own body, from the moment of conception until the long period of our existence and finally at the point of death, our body goes through a tremendous process of change and development and decay towards the end. And in the case of our body, on the cellular level, there is a constant, even on a very small level, there is a constant dynamism, there is a constant process of change that is taking place. And these changes on a moment-by-moment basis are really responsible for the changes that are observable. Sometimes some of these changes will even reflect in the visible changes in our physical appearance, when we age, when we grow old and so on. So the mechanism that give rise to that change even on the macroscopic level is really at the subtle level of the bodily existence. So it is by understanding that this dynamic moment by moment changing nature that one will understand the subtle impermanence of things, conditioned things. So of course within the Buddhist tradition, then the question is asked, what is the factor that really makes it that really compels the conditioned things to decay and to eventually disintegrate and cease to exist. The Vaibhashika school explains this in terms of a temporal process where things come into being first, then they abide or endure for a period of time, and then they begin a process of decay, and eventually they disintegrate and cease to exist. However, most Buddhist schools really understand the mechanism for this change and transient nature in a much more subtle way, where it is understood that the very cause and conditions that brought into being the phenomenon has brought the phenomenon into being as subject to change, as subject to decay. And so that in a sense, the mechanism for the seed for its own cessation or a destruction is, produced the moment the thing itself is produced. And it is, so therefore, in order for a phenomena to cease to exist and decay and disintegrate, there is no need for a third factor. Anything that is born, that has come into being as a result of causes and conditions, will eventually, over time, will decay and cease to exist. So it is the understanding of that subtle impermanence of the moment-by-moment process of change that Buddhists understands all conditioned things to be subject to impermanence. All conditioned things, phenomena, are transient and impermanent. So this is the first seal.
Dujie
Then the second seal or axiom of Buddhism is that all contaminated phenomena are in the nature of suffering. So this does not suggest that according to Buddhism all conditioned things are subject to suffering. Within the conditioned things, one makes a distinction between those that are contaminated and those that are not uncontaminated. So the contaminated, anything that is is a result of contaminated causes and conditions are subject to the nature of suffering. So here, primarily, it refers to those phenomena that have come into being as a result of contaminated causes and conditions, such as the fundamental ignorance that lies at the heart of our existence. And the fundamental ignorance, although some Indian masters such as Asanga understand ignorance in the form of mere unknowing, but primarily the ignorance must be understood in the form of an active form of misknowing or distorted understanding. So this distorted understanding of the nature of reality lies at the heart of our causes and conditions. And so any effects that are produced by such distorted states of mind are bound to be distorted effects themselves. And therefore, in the second axiom or the seal, the Buddha states that all contaminated phenomena are subject to to the nature are in the nature of suffering.
Yeah, yeah. Huh? On this level, any? So you do. 确实就东西打了吧，是的。但这个，但，但这的目的为什么的限制在呢？呃，个人单位打都打完才写多啊。所以，但这个呢，就是什么呢？呃，打下过，哎呢，给几个几个，个几个等于就吃不完的，哎，碰不了单呢。 조셔버지 처비하래 레디인에 아니 어 천지의 치료도 주베 아니 가서 우리 그게 다시 치료 요소 주면도 나가다 아니 야 더주지 그래야 다 다하세야 안돼 아니 풍부 제로야래 풍부 가서 우리 요로야래 풍부 풍부 요로야 돼 이네 가난도 놀래야 아니 나 그러나 다 대단히 이게 미지게 나는 나 나백 그 돌았어. 진짜네 롤이야. 충 집에 거네. 지금 뒤 닫아봐도 나 찍어도 와. 이제 뭐로 쉬어도 와. 더동 텔레 봐도 뭐는 답이 있나? 아니 전에 겨운 것이 탱행이 미지게 문에 지르는 게 미지게 나 나만네 생각만네 들어와 그래서. 난 니네 침을 누구를 쓰잖아요. 나만네 왕에 침을 누가 이제 다지 롤 쉬어도 와. 그래서 진짜 인도산에 풍부 거두거두기 요조되게 요하래 띵아도 통주를 해 얘네 풍부 때 왕갱게 다하되 난조 롤이야 지그 땐도 영행을 실로를 실어도 와 사실은 이래서는 그 땐도 영행 지기 아니 요조되게 땐도 맹행 지강을이야 땐버리슬람나 아니 대범이도 와 사실은 이래서 풍부 요조되게 텔레 양가로도 대단하라 왕갱기 다지 여과야 다지 풍부 요치면 너신신은 요매 되는지 상무시 콜레인구도 자 지대 인전에 풍부를 대신에 다 딱바인 되게 요매게 풍부를 왕하신지 다 다지 여구도 신상 상담인 거야 그래서 원해라 다지 풍부를 떼내 여대로지 제대 풍부를 떼내 그 다지 자는 이야기도 와 자 지대 인전에 풍부를 떼내 딱바시 제대 이내 나 털라 네버 따도 문 짐바 로 추버스 내면도 딱 落里也起得闹呢心里打全心不起身的乐大过来打乐滚大过来所以乐滚大过来打这里去打三千倍中间那呢有好嘛的意思这里都是让我们打有好嘛的打下来的父母的单的小酒的嘛都父母的单的让家的让我们打有好嘛的结果所以这里人的打打打给我哎让家我真的是我没有人的算呢哎
So the third seal or the axiom is that all phenomena are empty and devoid of selfhood or self-existence. So this refers to.
亲人的却抗议那样，哎，抗啥个打个动不的，是做了吧？
So all phenomena are empty and devoid of selfhood or self-existence. So this refers to. Our understanding of the nature of our own existence and phenomena. For example, if we observe our normal sense of selfhood, we tend to believe that underlying our physical and mental elements that goes through change over a period of time, there is something that is constant, there is something that is enduring, that is called me, I, and the person.For example, if someone was sick once, and then today if you are well, and you have a memory of that experience of being ill, instinctively you will remember that experience as, when I was ill, I did this, this happened to me. So you have underlying this kind of, you know, way of thinking, there is a kind of an assumption of something that is constant, something that endures across that period of time, although your physical health may have gone through change. Your body has changed, but somehow there is something that is called self or I that remains unchanging across that two different times, when you were ill and when you are now well. Similarly, if you can push that temporal framework further, in the case of, say, some yogis who are capable of recalling their past life experiences, so in these cases, then the memory will reach far, you know, much further into a distance of time. So these individuals will have immediately the thought that, you know, I was born from such and such a life and so on. So there again, the temporal reach of that memory and the reference of the term I becomes much more long. So the point is that we, in our normal conception of selfhood, tend to have this idea that underlying this body and mental processes which change over time, that there is something that is enduring, that is something that is lasting, there is something that is unchanging, that is something that is one, and that is the real me. Now, this is a kind of something that is very natural for us to feel. Then, of course, one can then have philosophical thought processes which may even reinforce this, which will then look at the nature of selfhood and come to the understanding that given that the body and the mind changes and fluctuates and changes and so forth, and so therefore body and mind cannot be identified, the self cannot be identified with the body and mind, so therefore independent of the body and mind there must be a self that is unitary, that is one, that is unchanging, and that is permanent, and so on. So what Buddhism is stating here is that belief in such enduring, unchanging, eternal, permanent selfhood is a misconception, because apart from our body and mind, physical and mental elements, there is no independent self that is outside that has an independent existence. So in the Buddhist tradition, and that notion of selfhood as independent, unitary, permanent and unchanging is rejected, not only in relation to one's own existence, but also in relation to phenomena as well. So therefore, the third axiom is stated as all phenomena are empty and devoid of self-existence.
Yeah.
So we will stop here.